through the American gateway to healthcare abroad. MedRetrieve, medical tourism specialist.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on our podcast about orthopedic surgery. This is Patrick Marsek with MedRetrieve, and today I'm joined by Dr. Vijayan Raju from Glen Eagles Hospital in Penang, Malaysia. Dr. Vijayan, thank you for joining us today to discuss joint replacement procedures.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me.
For starters, doctor, I want to congratulate you on procedures you've been providing to our clients. Whether or not you realize this, you're developing quite a fan club here in the United States.
Thank you very much.
You know, doctor, what I'd like to discuss today for our North American audience is a little bit about your background and then zoom out a bit to discuss joint replacement procedures for patients that may be considering the option of traveling abroad. So, first of all, please tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, I am a Malaysian Indian. I'm the third generation Indian in Malaysia. I've done my basic degree in medicine in University of Malaya locally, and after that I joined the Malaysian Armed Forces. I was with the Armed Forces for 3 years in different hospitals before I joined the National University with a Malaysian Armed Forces scholarship to do a Master's in Orthopedics, and I passed out with Master's of Orthopedics in 1998. Since then I've been working in the Armed Forces Hospital as the head of orthopedic unit till 2005, when I joined the Glen Eagles. That's basically what I have done.
And from what I understand, you're a colonel in the Malaysian Army. Is that correct?
That's right. So, I started as a captain, and I was promoted up to colonel.
Oh, congratulations, doctor! Approximately, over the past few years, how many hip and knee replacements have you done?
I've done about 150 hips and knees over the past 3 years.
Okay, good. And you've been with Glen Eagles for about a year and a half now, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And besides hip and knee replacements, what is your specialty?
My main interest is in sports injuries. I've done about 3,000 arthroscopic surgeries for knees and shoulders over the past 7 years.
Okay. Very impressive. And we're very happy to have you, doctor, as our consulting surgeon over in Malaysia, by the way. I just want to say that up front. You've done a great job in helping our clients understand what it is they need to know before they come, as well as when they're there. I understand that you're very entertaining and have a great sense of humor and make them feel well at home.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that we are told is patient must be treated as a part of our family. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to treat them well.
Well, you know, that's a big difference from medicine in the U.S. It's more like a business, whereas you do treat it more like a family type of a situation, and that's what we appreciate about it. And thank you for being there for us. Let's get into the joint replacement procedures. In regards to them, what should a patient consider when seeking a procedure such as a knee or hip replacement?
Okay. The joint replacement surgery is mainly for distraught joint, which is painful. So it is a procedure for pain. When the pain is disturbing their daily living, daily activities, they require surgery. And joint replacement cannot be a substitute to a normal joint. It has got a period where it will wear out. It's usually up to 15 to 20 years. But in that period of time, it is really pain-free. So it is a procedure that is good for patients who are elderly, who have got a joint which is painful, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, I guess you really don't want to replace a joint in a young person because, as you said, the joints only last 15 to 20 years, so they would have to come in for a follow-up procedure perhaps sometime in the future. Is that right?
That's right. And the second procedure, the complication rate goes up. And as we do more and more, like third and fourth procedure, you're talking about very, very difficult surgery.
Right. So, speaking of complication rates, what are the complication rates?
The main complication would be infection and loosening. Infection is an early complication. We are talking about 0.5% incidence of infection of the joint. Although it is treatable, but it takes a long period of time to treat infection. and the other main complication will be loosening, and loosening happens over a period of time. When loosening happens, we'll have to replace the joint again.
Right.
Other than that, the main concern would be deep vein thrombosis because of immobility. They get a blood clot in the vein, which can dislodge, which can go into the lungs and cause some problems. And the other complication will be dislocation, the joint coming out after the surgery. This happens early in the early period of post-operative care, but the chances are actually low.
Okay, good. And I guess one of the questions is there a right way and a wrong way to replace a joint, or is it pretty much the same? It just depends on what the procedures, the type of prosthesis you use, and things like that.
Yeah, the principle are the same. You replace the joint. For example, if you're talking about hip, the cup and the head need to be replaced.
Okay.
And usually we replace with an inert material, polyethylene for the cup and stainless steel or new metals for the hip, for the ball. The principle is the same, but how we fix these two parts differs. Sometimes we do it with cement. Sometimes we do it by press fitting it. Sometimes we mix and match. There are so many implants available in the market produced by various companies, but
right.
The principles do not change.
Okay, so it depends on their actual condition as to which method you use. Is that how that works?
That's true. In a younger patient, we try not to put cement because the chances of re-replacing is there. Whereas in the older patients, we tend to do more of cementing.
Okay. Now, you mentioned there's many different types of prosthesis. Which do you prefer to use?
I've been using Johnson & Johnson prosthesis. That's basically because I've been doing it for a while. I do not like to keep changing and
sure.
Do something new. That's basically it. But I do not think that it's a big issue which company do you use.
Yeah. Now, I've been told that one of our clients that visited you, you kind of put her mind at ease and said, you know, joint replacements are, it's a very easy procedure for you. I mean, since you've done enough of them, it's not really a high-risk type of procedure. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
We take out the joint that is diseased and replace it with an implant and put it in the same place that it was. So it's quite straightforward.
Yes. Now, how safe is it for patients to travel thousands of miles for a joint replacement? What's a concern?
It is quite safe for the patient to travel. My only concern is the chance of deep vein thrombosis. As you know, deep vein thrombosis happens even in patients, in normal people who travel long distance when they do not move. It's called the economy class syndrome.
Okay.
So the chances of getting deep vein thrombosis after long distance of traveling may be high. Although we do not have enough data on this, I would be a little bit concerned about patient traveling. So what I would suggest is he should travel a couple of days earlier, and they should take some precautions. A simple exercise will be good. Keep their legs mobile even though they are sitting in the chair. Keep the muscles moving so that the muscle pump will push the blood up, and that can prevent the blood clotting in the vein.
There's also some type of treatment you can use. Is that correct? Some type of treatment before
yes.
you fly?
That's right. There are some medication that can be taken to prevent a deep vein thrombosis. Either orally or injectable medications are available, but this need to be prescribed by a doctor.
Right. And that can all be discussed before the client even leaves the U.S. here, and you can provide them with that information if they have that concern.
That's right, yes.
Okay. How long on average does it take for a patient to recover from a hip or knee replacement to be able to get up and walk around?
Right. The post-operative recovery based quite a lot on the pain threshold. Some people can walk on the same day, in fact.
Mm.
But most of the time, it takes about a couple of days before they can walk because of the pain. But
right.
we would like to make them walk as soon as possible. And after that, we will continue with the deep vein thrombosis prophylaxis for a while. They will be started on physiotherapy the day of surgery,
right.
And they are actually fit to travel within 2 to 3 weeks.
Right, so they'll spend a week in the hospital, receive their physiotherapy in the hospital, and then be instructed as to how to continue that once they go to their hotel for recuperation for the next 2 or 3 weeks, right?
That's right, yes, okay. Exactly.
Okay, good. So you're saying the average patient will probably be in a destination for about 3 to 4 weeks?
That's right.
Okay, good, before returning. And I know why you do that, but maybe I should just mention that the reason for that is you want to make sure that they're well underway to recovery before returning home, because once they return home, they don't have your attention. I mean, you know, they would have to take care of any needs when they got back to the U.S. And I know that you want to make sure that before they leave, they're well on the road to recovery, no signs of infection, recuperating fine, and have alleviated the potential concerns of deep vein thrombosis for flying home. So that's a good thing, and that's what I like about medical tourism, traveling overseas for these types of procedures. You're extra cautious because they're international patients away from home, and you take no risks, and I really like that.
Yeah, that's right. And also, most of the complications are in the early period, so we will be able to make sure that they are all right before they can go home.
Right, exactly. Okay, now, what are the potential, besides deep vein thrombosis, what are the potential complications from joint replacement surgery, and how can people address these potential complications before they arrive?
Okay. The first complication would be a deep vein thrombosis, which we have addressed. Once they are here, before they come, I would like to advise them on some exercises to do even in the flight so that we can prevent it. And once they are here, we will start on deep vein thrombosis prophylaxis preoperatively, and we'll continue that for another 10 days by injection. And after that, we'll convert it to oral tablets.
Okay.
That is for deep vein thrombosis. The other potential complication is infection. Infection rate is low. We are talking about 0.5%, but when it does happen, it can be quite devastating. And what we do is, again, we start on antibiotics preoperatively, and I usually continue antibiotics for 3 days after the operation. And we keep a close eye on the wound to make sure there is no infection, no sign of infection. Other than that,
so relatively low complication issues then.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Now, is a blood transfusion necessary during joint replacement surgeries?
Blood transfusion may be necessary. Most of the time, what we would do is a group and cross match preoperatively, and we will see how much blood they lose during the operation. Average blood loss would be like 300 mL, which doesn't need to be replaced, but anything more than 500, I would like to replace it. And we have a good blood bank here, which is of international standard, and I don't think blood transfusion is an issue.
Okay, so the blood is completely safe. A lot of people might have that issue. I don't want other people's blood from what they consider to be a third world country, which we know is not true. Penang, Malaysia is very much up to standards of the U.S. as far as healthcare. But so that's not a concern as far as the blood then.
I don't think you have to worry about
okay.
that.
Okay, good. Okay. Are the treatment plans in Malaysia the same as in the USA?
You know, Patrick, I've gone through some of the protocols in U.S., and I think it's exactly the same.
It is. Yeah, I mean, like you said before, I mean, these are fairly simple procedures. There's not too many ways you can do it, so, yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about arthroscopy. I know you do a lot of arthroscopy. How many have you done over the years?
I've done about 3,000 arthroscopic surgeries over the past 7 years.
And that's mainly as a result of sports injuries?
That's right. You know, in the army, these guys, you know, they get injured during the training, during games and all that. And most of the time, they damage their meniscus, their ligaments and things like that. And that's basically what we do a lot in the armed forces. And it's a simple, minimally invasive procedure where we put a small telescope into the joint. through the telescope, you'll be able to see the whole joint very clearly, which is connected to a computer. And with another small incision, you do the procedures.
So like, for example, torn meniscus or torn ligaments or bone fragments, things like that?
That's right. Meniscus can be replaced or removed. Ligament can be reconstructed or repaired. And bone chips can be fixed. Those are things that can do.
Okay, great. Doctor, in closing, what would you say to a North American citizen that might be considering traveling to Malaysia for orthopedic surgery because of the high costs in the U.S. or the long waiting lists in Canada? What's your advice to them?
I would say Malaysia is a beautiful country. Don't think that it's very different from U.S. We have high standards here. It's a nice place to come, and you shouldn't worry about being treated here.
Okay, and doctor, I'm sure once they meet you, all their thoughts, negative thoughts, will come to rest, and you can take care of them just like you have for our past patients. Doctor, I want to thank you very much for taking the time today to provide me with this interview. I'm sure it's going to be immensely helpful to Americans that might be considering researching their options to go to Malaysia and alleviate their pain, especially with you. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're the American gateway to healthcare abroad. MedRetreat, medical tourism specialists.